Good morning, good morning, good morning. We welcome you this morning to First Baptist Church of Baden worship service. My name is Reverend Dr. Anthony E. Neal, pastor of First Baptist Church in Baden. Amen, amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let us go to the Lord for a word of prayer. O wise eternal Father, we come this morning to thank you, to glorify you, to praise you, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. O gracious Father, we come this morning with hearts of humbleness, with lips of thanksgiving and hearts of praise to glorify you, to lift you up, to magnify you this morning. For we're so thankful for this opportunity to come together to worship you in spirit and truth. We ask right now, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would just fill this place, that your Holy Spirit would just touch each and every heart that's tuned in via Facebook Live, or either going listening to it through our conference call. And we're just so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this time together. And we pray, Lord, that in the end, that you would receive all the praise, honor, and glory. We lift all these things up in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we do pray, in the sanctified saints of amen. Of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. I'm so thankful, my brothers and sisters, for all of you who are tuning in this morning, watching our service. We're so grateful for this day. We're so thankful for all that the Lord is doing in our lives. And we just give God praise for this Black History Month. We're in the last Sunday of Black History Month. And I don't know about you, but it's been a wonderful celebration throughout this month for me, and learning new things about some of the inventors and all the scientists, and just the rich culture and the rich history that we have made and contributed to this nation. Amen, amen, amen. We praise God. Our scripture reading this morning, saints, will find in the book of the beginnings, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7. And when you have found that passage of scripture, if you could give a like, if you could do an amen, so that we know that we are all on one accord. Again, that's Genesis 17, 1 through 7. And you see that right there on your screen. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7. Can I get an amen? Amen. I see an amen. We praise God for you this morning. Amen, amen. Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. But whatever version you have, we praise the Lord for you, each and every one of you. And the word of God reads, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous.' Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, 'As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you.'" Amen, amen. You've heard in your reading, saints, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. God's word for God's people. What a wonderful promise that God made to Abraham. Told him he would have a wonderful multitude that would come from him. He would be exceedingly fruitful. And we see that God indeed kept his promise. He said that he would make kings come from him. And we know that King David came from him. And we know the King of Kings, Jesus Christ himself, came through Abraham. So we praise God for that wonderful word. And I hope it was a blessing to your hearts. Amen, amen, amen. We have a selection for you all this morning. Selection from Kim Burrell. And we are keeping in the same theme as our sermon series this month, entitled The Comforter. And this song is by Kim Burrell, and it's called Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Yes, yes, yes. We praise the Lord for Kim Burrell and that wonderful selection titled Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. Hope that that selection blessed your hearts on this morning. Amen. Let us continue to be in prayer for Sister Sadie Knight and the Williams family for the loss of her brother, Deacon Henry Mack Williams. The funeral services were on yesterday at 1 o'clock. So let us continue to be in prayer for her and the Williams family. Let us also just continue to be in prayer for all of our bereaved families within First Baptist and throughout the Baden community. Amen, 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 amen. There will be a virtual First Baptist Church communication meeting on Sunday, March 7th, next Sunday, March 7th at 12:30 p.m. via Zoom. The meeting dial-in number and the link to the Zoom meeting room will be sent out today. So pay attention to your text, pay attention to your email so that you are aware of when we will have that meeting and the dial-in number for it. Again, it's going to be on March 7th at 12:30, which is next Sunday, the first Sunday in March. Amen, amen, amen. Also, be aware that next Sunday, with it being the first Sunday, we will take the Lord's Supper together. So I encourage you to get your bread, your cracker, your juice that represents the blood, and I will bless the elements, and we will take the Lord's Supper together. So make sure that you are ready with that and that you have that. Amen, amen, amen. Let me encourage you, my brothers and sisters, the COVID-19 vaccination is available now. So if you are 65 and older, I encourage you to get the vaccination so we can stop the spread of COVID-19. And I just encourage you to do so. Amen. 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 The UMBA Youth Ministry, they have a wonderful opportunity for our youth. It's the Kick Back and Connect via Zoom. And First Lady and I, we had the opportunity to listen in to the first one. And it happens the every fourth Wednesday. And it occurred on this past Wednesday. And it was a wonderful opportunity for our youth to tune in, to meet some new people, to even play some games, win some prizes. They gave out some prizes, and also to hear a nice devotional message. And it was just a wonderful opportunity for our youth. There were several youth throughout the UMBA churches that tuned in, and they just had a wonderful time sharing with one another, meeting one another, and hearing a nice devotional message. It was a 30-minute connection, so it's not long at all. It gives the students and our youth the opportunity to connect with new people and to hear some uplifting devotional messages. Amen, amen, amen. Also, be reminded, my brothers and sisters, with this being the last Sunday in the month of February, we want to make sure that we recognize all of our birthdays and anniversaries for the month of March. So if you have a birthday in the month of March, I ask that you would put it in the Facebook chat so we can see it and make sure that we announce it next Sunday. Or if you have an anniversary, make sure that you announce that, put that in the chat so we can make sure that we celebrate you and recognize you for your birthday and or for your anniversary. Amen. Amen. We just praise God for all of you. We have a wonderful video that we like to share with you on this morning. And I just want to take a moment to thank my lovely wife for putting together this video that highlights First Baptist Church and some of our Black History Month moments. Hopefully you all are wearing your African garb or your old-fashioned attire, or maybe you have a HBCU apparel that you want to wear, but hopefully you are wearing that right now. So we're going to take a trip down memory lane and look at some of the wonderful moments of First Baptist Church during Black History Month. Amen. Amen. Let us rejoice.
Hang on to the world as it spins around. Just don't let the spin get you down. Things are
trip down memory lane and First Baptist Church and Black History Month was encouraging, was uplifting to you. And we just praise God for all those memories that we were able to share with you on this morning. And as we celebrate Black History Month, we're so thankful for that video montage. I thank my lovely wife for putting that together, and we just praise God for her. One day we'll all be free. Amen, amen, amen. We are in our final week of our sermon series, The Comforter, and we will be finishing up this sermon series today. So I ask that if you have your Bibles, I ask that you would turn with me. We have several passages of scripture we're going to look at, and I put them in order so that you can flip through them through your Bibles, but you might not hear them in that order during the sermon. So let us first turn to the gospel according to Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Then we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Then we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Romans 8, verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Then Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Galatians 5, verse 25. And our last passage of text comes from 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. And if you found the first passage, Luke 4, verse 18, if you could say amen, we get a thumbs up so we know that we are all in one accord. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the passages. I just want to read just a couple. I'll read Luke, Acts, and Romans, and then we'll go into our message. Amen. Amen. So let us first start with Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And the word of God reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release of the to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." Now let us look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And it reads, "And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit." Somebody say filled. "And began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." And then we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. "So that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. You just heard in your reading Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 16. God's word for God's people. Let us go to the Lord for a word of prayer. O wise eternal Father, we come this morning with praise upon our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts, for we know this is the day that you have made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. O gracious Father, we come right now asking, Lord, that you would use me right now, that you would give me preaching power, preaching boldness, preaching conviction. And I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you share with me privately that I'm about to proclaim publicly. Use me right now with boldness. Use me right now with conviction. And I just thank you right now, Heavenly Father, for all that will be shared on this day. We lift all these things up in the matchless name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Over the past 3 weeks, we have been in this sermon series, The Comforter. We learned about the work of the Holy Spirit that equips us, guides us, comforts us, and loves us. We learned about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is His power, His presence, and His promise. And on this last Sunday, we heard about the joy of the Holy Spirit, in which we can rejoice when we are faced with adversity and affliction are affecting us. We can have His peace, a sense of well-being and contentment in a time of chaos. And the Holy Spirit inspires our praise that we give to our Father in heaven. And as we come to the end of this series, from this text, I would like to use for a topic, walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. This series has laid the groundwork for how the Holy Spirit operates in our lives. And now, we will examine how our lives should look when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit's presence should be evident in a believer's life in some way or some fashion, whether it's by the fruit you produce or the characteristics that you manifest, or perhaps it is evident by how you've been set apart in God's plan for your life. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with us, and we should be walking in the Spirit. I believe that the first step, my brothers and sisters, that takes place before we walk in the Spirit is that we are baptized in the Spirit, that we are baptized in the Spirit. I believe that once a believer accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and he or she will receive and be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And if you are a believer, you were baptized and indwelt by the Holy Spirit the very moment that you were saved. Romans 8 and 9 states that you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. I'm trying to encourage you and let you know, believers, for those who believe in Christ, that once you believed, that you were baptized and indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's a divine act. It's promised by John the Baptist and by Jesus Christ, whereby the Holy Spirit initiates believers into a union and a communion with the glorified Jesus Christ, and will equip and enable believers for sanctity and for service. Yes, my brothers and sisters, one of the most notable examples of the baptism from the Holy Spirit found in the Bible was during the Pentecost. If we look at Acts 2 and 24, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And on this day, my brothers and sisters, about 3,000 souls repented and accepted Jesus Christ and received the Holy Spirit. You see, the filling of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, enabled them to speak in other languages that they were not native to them immediately. They had this wonderful power from the filling of the Holy Spirit to speak in languages so that their brothers would hear them speak in their own language, and they understood them just as if they were speaking the language naturally themselves. They had been baptized by the Holy Spirit. But that's not the only way that the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We see other instances in the Bible when the Holy Spirit fell upon Samaritan converts, when Peter and John prayed for them, when he laid hands upon them. If we look at Acts 8, 15 and 17, it says the two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Yes, my brothers and sisters, every believer in Christ receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit in some way according to God's divine plan. And one thing we must realize is that God gives of his Holy Spirit regardless of what you look like, regardless of where you live, regardless of how much money is in your bank account, or if you've been battling with the bondage of sin, whether your struggles or with an alcohol addiction, or you've been fighting the stronghold of drugs, or chasing empty idols of the world. I'm here to let you know that once you have accepted Jesus and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living in you. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and you'll see evidence of that. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. See, the Holy Spirit can come into your heart. We see that an example of that in Acts 15 and 8. It says, "And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them," somebody say giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, and we see that God knows our hearts unlike men, and he knows how to turn your life around. I don't know who I'm talking to who needs to hear this, but I'm here to let you know that the Holy Spirit can come into the heart of a crack addict, into a heroin addict, into a meth addict, into a weed addict, a sex addict, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're battling with. I'm here to let you know that the Holy Spirit can come into your heart, and Jesus can turn you around. And once we receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit into our lives, it connects us with the body of Christ. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the struggles that you're facing with. Maybe you're an unbeliever today, but I'm here to let you know that the Holy Spirit can come into your heart. The Holy Spirit can prick your heart and turn you around and change your life, because God is able to do it. Amen. Amen. I believe that once that happens, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. It connects you with the body of Christ. We look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. It says, "For in the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body." Somebody say one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are baptized into one body, no matter our ethnicity or our heritage, whether we're Jew or Greek, slaves or free, we are all baptized into the Holy Spirit. And once you've received the Holy Spirit, that is the promise to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Our lives will be changed like never before. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm here to let you know And once the Holy Spirit comes into your life, once you accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into your life will change like never before. And I'm here to let you know that our lives will resemble one who was filled with the Spirit. There should be some kind of characteristics that is revealed by us as believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's the second thing that'll happen. We'll be filled with the Spirit. We're baptized by the Spirit. Then we're filled with the Spirit. And to be filled with the Spirit, my brothers and sisters, is to be energized and controlled by the third person of the Godhead, in which we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And we are full of His presence in His power. And being filled with the Spirit leads us to renewal, leads us to obedience, to boldness, and extraordinary qualities in our lives. Yes, I don't know who I'm talking to, but when you accept Jesus, you're baptized, and then you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you're filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll have some characteristics of a Spirit-filled life. And by the way we live, there should be some evidence that we have a Spirit-filled life. If you look at Romans 8, 4, and 6, it says, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who will not walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Yes, my brothers and sisters, 1 John 2:16 says, tells us that walking in the flesh involves three areas of life that all stand in direct opposition of God. It's either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And it was these three areas that we see that the enemy tempted Jesus while he was in the wilderness. And when we consider these three areas of sin, we see that walking after the flesh is our attempt to get our own needs and wants, our own longings and desires to be met independently of God, meaning that we are not looking at God to fulfill the needs that we have. The lust of the eyes can be seen as a self-fulfillment. In other words, what I can have or get in this life, that's lust of the eyes. But then there's also lust of the flesh that can be seen as what I can do or experience or take pleasure in this life. While if we look at the pride of life, that's all about what I can be or what can I achieve or be seen as in this life. In any of those three cases, we see the main word in those three things is the word I, meaning that you're self-focused on self as opposed to focusing on God. But in contrast, walking according to the flesh, Paul writes in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust or desires of the flesh. And when you walk in the Spirit, my brothers and sisters, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide your conduct wherever you go and whatever you do, I'm here to let you know you'll be able to produce the fruit that God wants you to produce. And I'm here to let you know it's how we walk. Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we producing Christ-like characteristics? Are we producing the fruit? But just what does a Spirit-filled life look like? What does a Spirit-filled life look like? I'm glad you asked. I believe that we ought to love one another regardless of our differences. We ought to be kind to one another regardless of if someone does us wrong. We ought to be patient with one another. When I say patient with one another, it may require that you suffer for a long time. I like how the King James puts it. It says there should be some long suffering. It should involve some gentleness. It should involve having some generosity, some faithfulness, and self-control. In other words, my brothers and sisters, our lives should resemble the fruit of the Spirit. If we look at Galatians 5:2-23, it says, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And if we look at the verse 22, it begins, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it's the fruit, meaning singular, and not the fruit, as in plural, meaning one fruit. It's all one fruit. All those nine characteristics I mentioned, that's one fruit. And if I can be real with you, my brothers, brothers and sisters this morning, we sometimes like to add an S to the end of words where there's no S to be. For example, it's Matthew, not Matthews, or it's Belk, not Belks, or it's Aldi, not Aldi's. I didn't mean to get off on the soapbox, but I'm just trying to let you know that it's the fruit of the Spirit, one fruit, no S. There are nine qualities characterizing that fruit in which the Holy Spirit plants and is evidence in the life of a believer. And as a person walking in the Spirit, they are going to experience in their life this love, this joy, this peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, we are baptized with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. We are walking in the Spirit. If the Spirit is the source of our life, let the Spirit also direct our course. The Bible reminds us in Galatians 5 and 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. But not only will the Holy Spirit baptize us, not only will the Holy Spirit fill us so that we exhibit the fruit, I believe that there are characteristics connected with the fullness of the Spirit. If we look at Exodus 31 verse 3, the Holy Spirit filled Bezalel, and Bezalel had skills of a craftsman who made items in the tabernacle. It says in Exodus 31 and 3, it says, and I have filled him with divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft. There are abilities and intelligence and knowledge and crafts that the Holy Spirit fills us all with. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but I believe that all the intelligence, all the abilities and skills that I've been gifted with as an IT professional, I know it was nothing but the Holy Spirit that gave me the intelligence and knowledge to do the job that I do. It was nothing of my own merit, but through the filling of the Holy Spirit that I have the technical skills that I have. I know a lot of you know that I'm in an IT field, that I do computer work, but I truly believe that it's nothing but the Holy Spirit that gave me those abilities, that gave me the skills, the intelligence to be able to do all that I do. And because of that, I give God praise. If I'm troubleshooting a computer problem and all of a sudden I recall how to fix that issue, it's not because of my own doing, but it's because of the ability that's been given to me by the Holy Spirit. So the next time you're at work, my brothers and sisters, and you figure out something or realize how to do something on a job, I double dog dare you to give the Lord some praise and to thank the Holy Spirit for the ability and the intelligence that he gave you to do your job. Yes, you ought to thank the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord. You ought to thank the Holy Spirit for giving you the ability and the intelligence to do what you're doing, walking in the Spirit. Yes, my brothers and sisters, as believers, we are to walk in the Spirit. And when we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, let me suggest that the Holy Spirit anoints us for the task of spiritual importance. We are baptized by the Spirit, we are filled by the Spirit, and then we are anointed by the Spirit. And that word anointing, I know it's used sometimes, and many people don't understand what the word anoint means, and they think that certain people have an anointing and certain people don't have an anointing. But to anoint means to set apart, or to set someone apart, to authorize or equip him or her for a task of spiritual importance. And we know that Jesus Christ was set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit for his ministry of preaching, his ministry of healing and deliverance. And the Holy Spirit sets you and I, believers, apart for our ministries in Christ's name. But we see first in our text that Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus to perform the work in his ministry. If we look at Matthew 3, verse 16, it says, "And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, then suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him." And then we look at Acts 10 and 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and gave him the anointing to be able to do his ministry, to bring healing, to deliverance, to bring preaching, and all that Jesus did in his ministry. It was because the Holy Spirit anointed him, set him apart to do what God had predestined for Jesus to do. But if we look at Luke 4, verses 18 through 21, we see that Jesus even declares his own anointing. If we look, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Yes, my brothers and sisters, and it says, "And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him, and they began to say to him, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" And yes, Jesus is declaring that he is the one that is anointed by the Spirit of the Lord, also known as the Holy Spirit. And we see in Jesus's ministry that the Holy Spirit truly anointed him to do what God had purposed him to do. The Bible proclaims in Matthew 4 and 23, it says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him to all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains and demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis, to Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan." Yes, my brothers and sisters, Jesus was anointed with the power to heal. He was anointed with the power to remove diseases and pains. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to remove the things that were afflicting people. And if we look at Luke 4 and 14, it says, "And Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country, and he began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone." Yes, it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's ministry that enabled him, that empowered him to do all that he was able to do. And just like the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus, the Holy Spirit anoints believers like you and I, and he sets us apart to do the work of God. And the anointing of a believer is the same anointing that was upon Jesus Christ. It's the mighty power of the Holy Spirit that we all have. And in order to do the works of Jesus, we must have that same power that he had. And we can do that through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So let me suggest that believers are anointed by the Spirit. Believers may be gifted in certain areas or called to ministries that others are not, but each of us are anointed by the same Spirit for the work of ministry. Yes, my brothers and sisters, there are different gifts, there's different callings, yet it is the same Spirit that empowers every believer. The anointing of the Spirit produces these various gifts, the callings and manifestations in different members, but no member can ever boast of a special anointing. That's why when I hear people say that, oh, that person is anointed and they're a believer themselves, well, you're anointed too, my brothers and sisters. I'm here to let you know that we are anointed. We are set apart. And it's that same Spirit who anoints all the ministers of the gospel, all the workers in local congregations, and all the members of the body of Christ, whatever description or gifting or calling they may have. So whether you are in a culinary ministry and you are cooking up some wonderful meals, or whether you are in a choir and you're singing wonderful songs, or whether you're a musician and you're playing the piano, whatever gifting that God has given you, whether you're the treasurer and you're keeping track of all the funds, God has gifted you and has anointed you with that special anointing. So as believers, my brothers and sisters, we have different callings, but one Spirit and one anointing. And as all believers, my brothers and sisters, we all have the Holy Spirit. We are anointed and we are part of God's royal priesthood. I don't know who I'm talking to, but be encouraged to know that if you are a believer in Christ, you indeed are anointed to do something special just for God, and to do something, a special purpose for God. The anointing enables us as believers to stand firm. If we look at 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 through 22, it says, but it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us by putting his seal on us. He put that seal on us and giving us his Spirit in our hearts as his first installment. Yes, not only is God establishing us in Christ, but God also anointed us. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are anointed. That means that we are qualified with this divine empowering to carry out the duties, to be able to stand firm. Yes, my brothers and sisters, not only are we anointed as believers to stand firm, but I believe we're anointed as believers to be guarded, have our hearts guarded from falsehood. If we look at 1 John 2:27, it says, as for you, the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and so you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught to you, abide in him. Yes, my brothers and sisters, in verse 27, we are called to abide in the anointing by following the Holy Spirit's leadership. And I'm here to let you know that there, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that abides within the believer forever. And this anointing is associated with his indwelling presence. Yes, all believers that's watching right now, I'm here to let you know that you are anointed, that God has anointed you as a believer. I don't know who I'm talking to, but be encouraged to know that we are baptized in the Spirit, that we are filled with the Spirit, and that we are anointed with the Spirit. And when we have all those things together, we are able to walk in the Spirit. Yes, my brothers and sisters, he is our comforter, the Holy Spirit. He is our advocate, the Holy Spirit. He is our counselor, the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Almighty. He is the eternal Spirit. He is the Spirit of might, the Spirit of judgment, the Spirit of Christ, in the Spirit of glory. He is the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding and the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of the living God. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I give God praise for the Holy Spirit. I shout glory for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. For the Holy Spirit. We praise God that we're able to walk in the Spirit, and I praise God that we're able to be filled by the Spirit, baptized by the Spirit, and anointed by the Spirit. Yes, my brothers and sisters, He is our Comforter. Hallelujah. I praise God for all of you. I hope that the Lord bless your hearts with the reading of that, the preaching of that word, and that you receive something in this sermon series, to know that the Holy Spirit gives us all that we need through life. And I praise God that this series was a blessing, and I hope you were encouraged to know that you should be walking in the Spirit, that you should be exhibiting some fruits of the Spirit or some characteristics of the Spirit, and know my brothers and sisters, that you are anointed as believers. Amen, amen. We praise God for all of you on this morning. We are so thankful for the opportunity to come with you this morning. Amen, amen, amen. There may be someone here this morning that's never given their life to Christ. Well, we encourage you, my brother or sister, if you've never given your life to Christ, all you have to do is come to the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you too shall be saved. And if you say this prayer with me right now, if you've never given your life to Christ, Heavenly Father, I come to you right now to let you know that I'm a sinner, and I repent right now. I ask, Lord, that you would send Jesus into my heart, that the Holy Spirit would dwell with me, that you would clean me up, and I will turn my life around. I will follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I give my life to you. And if you've said that prayer, my brothers and sisters, for the first time, you have been saved. And we praise God. We give God praise. The angels in heaven are rejoicing, and we thank God for you giving your life to Christ. And if you if you don't have a church home that you can fall under, where you can have a pastor such as myself to pray with you, to be your spiritual covering, we invite you and encourage you to come to First Baptist Church. No matter where you are, via this virtual platform, we can still minister to you. And we just praise God for each and every one of you. Amen, amen. We praise God. Walking in the Spirit. Amen. We have a guest choir this morning, and we're so thankful to have a special guest choir, Ricky Dillard and the New Generation Chorale. Amen. And they have a selection titled, He Lifted Me. Amen. Let us listen right now. Praise God. Amen. You don't know where he brought me from. He lifted me. Amen. When Satan had me bound, he lifted me. When I was stuck in sin, he lifted me. Amen. We praise God for that selection. Ricky Dillard in the New Generation Chorale. Amen. We praise God for that selection. I hope that selection bless your heart. Amen. We praise God and we just ask who've been tuning in, we pray that you would be a blessing and sow a seed into our ministry. You can give online at fbcbaden.org or you can send your offering, your donation to our U.S. mail, P.O. Box 1636, Baden, North Carolina 28009. We praise God for all of you who've been giving, and we just thank God. We know who you are, and we praise God for you supporting our ministry as we continue to try to be a blessing in our community. And we just thank God for all of you on this morning. We're so thankful, and we hope this sermon series was a blessing to you, to you all, the comforter. We began with the work of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and we finish today with walking in the Spirit, the comforter. We praise God for all of you. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to have God's benediction. Amen. 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 Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let everybody say amen. 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 Have a blessed week in the Lord. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you. Amen. See you next week.